The PlayStation Plus Game Club is part of the Trophy Talk Network. Thank you to all of our wonderful supporters on Patreon. It really means a lot to us. So a special thank you shout out to Pat the Trophy Hunter, Against Me, King K6969, Toxic, Be Down, Diego Juan, First Mage, Gary Cooper, and Jordan Vickers. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/trophytalknetwork to learn more. And for now, enjoy the show. What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, a.k.a. the Portland Kevin, and this is a show where we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus library and break it down for your entertainment, information, and amusement. Today, we are talking about Journey to the Savage Planet, developed by Typhoon Studios and published by 505 Games in January of 2020. As the lone traveler to the planet ARY-26, you are tasked with surveying the landing area to assess if it is habitable, as well as finding a way off the planet because the company that sent you there didn't include a return trip in the budget. Joining me on this journey, you know him as the co-host of the MoogleCast and from the Trophy Talk Discord, Zach Lurie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be on the show. I'm excited to talk about this game. It's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. There's a funny story behind why we picked this game to play for March. Over in the Trophy Talk Discord, we decided that part of the Patreon tiers there would be that once a quarter you get to vote for the game that we are going to be playing for the game club. And you and I said, okay, well, great. Like, we're going to launch this vote. And after 2 weeks, we had a three-way tie between three different games. We were both kind of like, well, neither of us can like decide what is the game that we choose out of these three. So like, why don't we just throw it to an impartial judge? And you suggested like you throw it to my wife. And I said, okay. And I had her watch the trailers for all three of the tied games. And she picked this one. She said it was one of the most interesting looking and it looked like it would give us the most to talk about.
I think she was right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like she did enjoy seeing some of the crazy stuff that was happening in this. And out of the three, I feel like she did pick probably the one that I would have enjoyed the most as well. But I had a great time with this one. Before we start talking about it, though, we should talk about what your project is. You are a co-host of the MoogleCast, which is another show on the Trophy Talk Network. If you want to give us a little detail about it, please do.
Yes. So the MoogleCast, and you would have, if someone's heard the previous episodes, they would have heard from Max, who's also part of that show. It's basically, it's a gaming podcast, but it's not as specific as the Trophy Talk podcast in terms of one specific aspect of gaming. It tries to be a bit more, across all different aspects of gaming. We go through older consoles, we go through trophies, we go through upcoming releases, we go through awards shows, everything. So if people are interested, feel free to check that out through the channels you find this show as well.
And I had the chance to be on the MoogleCast as well. So you guys are some great hosts over there. So you guys put on a really good show.
So do you. So do you.
Thank you. And if you enjoy this episode, this show, as well as the MoogleCast, and want to hear more like it, please like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps us show up in more recommended feeds and algorithms. If you want to be part of an episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club, you can send in an email at psplusgameclub@gmail.com or find our Discord channel to write and talk about it there. That is the Trophy Talk Network that we are part of. And it has a pretty large community compared to the other Discord that I've been running for just the PlayStation Plus Game Club. There are connections to other shows like the Trophy Talk Podcast, the MoogleCast, as we were just mentioning, and Surviving the Horror. The Trophy Talk Network also has a Patreon that we are a part of, and you can use those benefits to write into the show, ask questions, and even vote on what game we play. So head on over to the Discord to check those out and take advantage of them. Now, with that little bit of housekeeping out of the way, it's time to take a journey to the Savage Planet.
Hi, my name is Martin Tweed, president and CEO of Kindred Aerospace. Thank you for joining the Pioneer Program. For almost 30 years, Kindred has been striving to help humanity expand beyond the confines of Earth. And I am excited to announce that many industry observers now consider us the fourth best interstellar exploration company. From our humble beginnings, manufacturing batteries and solar arrays for use in extreme climates, to our line of athletic footwear and chic survival apparel, we have been continually striving to drive humanity further from the bottom of the oceans and now to the stars! Our next step is to move beyond pure exploration and into settlement, which is why you are here. Our scientists have identified several planets that may be fit for human habitation. Yours is
ARY-26.
Your job is to explore the planet's surface, catalog its creatures, threats, and opportunities, and send your data back to our crack team of scientists here at Kindred for analysis. The more you discover, the more we'll be able to guide your experience and highlight objectives for you and your partner, if you have one. I should also mention that while every effort has been made to ensure a comfortable and safe journey, recent budget challenges plus the unknown natures of the obstacles you will face mean that we were unable to send you anything in the way of equipment. But don't stress, however, as your habitat comes equipped with a 3D printer that is more than capable of turning any old space trash you discover into useful items. One minor note. All the fuel in your javelin was used in the journey from Earth and the landing on your planet. You will need to discover a local resource that you can refine into an appropriate fuel. Unless, of course, you decide to spend the rest of your life off Earth. But I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I'm sure you're very excited to explore. So I wish you good luck. We will send updates on your progress as you complete your scheduled surveys. Stay alive, and see you soon.
Long-term space travel is not for everyone. Side effects from long-term space travel are uncommon, but can include headache, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, dizziness, dysentery, chest pain, varicose veins, bloody stools, feeling of emptiness or hopelessness, osteoarthritis, hemorrhoid, diabetes, forgetfulness, gender confusion, spontaneous dental prolapse, mild discomfort, or death. If you notice any of these symptoms, please contact your Kindred representative as soon as possible, and all efforts will be made to help and or rescue you. Note that current rescue time exceeds 6 months.
This game, first of all, has a very interesting development history. The Raccoon Logic is the name of the developer, and they started out as Typhoon Studios. And Typhoon Studios was then acquired by Google when they were starting up their Stadia program. And for those listening that might not know what Stadia is, that is a cloud-based game service where you just play games through a streaming service. And you don't really download the game, you just view the screen of it being played somewhere else and you choose the button inputs. So I didn't get to try it myself, but from what I heard, the system was working pretty well and Google invested a lot of money in it, but unfortunately they shuttered it in, I think it was 2023, if I remember correctly. That means that the studio that they owned that was working exclusively for Stadia, did not, you know, get to continue working on whatever they were working on at the time. Thankfully though, By the time Google decided to shut Stadia down, they had already released Journey to the Savage Planet on other platforms. And I'm guessing one reason because of that is that they were developing the game already when Google acquired the studio. So Google shuts down Stadia. They shut down all their studios. And Typhoon Studios becomes a new studio called Raccoon Logic. And they end up being able to acquire the rights to Journey to the Savage Planet to get it continued to be published on PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, wherever, and they don't have to delist it. So thankfully, they were able to rescue Savage Planet from Google and the failed Stadia project. But looking at this game, I feel like this really embodies a lot of the spirit of what Stadia looked like and what their advertising looked like and kind of the ideas that they were building their system on. And that can possibly be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it, for this particular game. And we'll get into some of those details as we discuss the game. But just as like a strange history for this game, what do you think about like the dangers of just having your whole development cycle underneath Google and how fickle they can be about some of their products sometimes?
Yeah, it's quite crazy, really. It's quite like a terrifying concept if you're a smaller studio, because, you know, often they get bought up by, you know, the bigger names that we hear about all the time. And the idea that, especially when you're going into a new console space, like Stadia was this brand new streaming, you know, idea, and it seems so promising, but it just shows you how these new ideas can be quite unstable. And I'm glad they were able to rescue the game and make their own studio. But yeah, I mean, a lot of games that you see, they're not quite as lucky, and they don't get to kind of fulfill their dream. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Or, you know, they do fulfill their dream and then suddenly it's just blinked out of existence because, you know, that is where they built it. And suddenly,
I think they also did a good thing of not just being like, they obviously didn't make it just with the Stadia in mind. So when that project fell through, they were able to put it onto other consoles. They didn't get stuck on like a dead system, which is also a problem thing.
Yeah, thankfully. And I think that shows that, you know, they were invested in not just the Stadia development, but just the development of this project as a whole. So, you know, when they were working on it before they got acquired by Stadia, thankfully they had the infrastructure to build it for PlayStation and Xbox and PC. And then that actually released before the Stadia version, even though they were owned by Stadia. And then Stadia shuts down and they reform into Raccoon Logic. And I'm just looking at my dates here, and it looks like Stadia actually shut down in 2021. If I'm not...
Well, that's quite surprising.
That's like...
A long time ago.
I don't think that's actually accurate. Like, Wikipedia, who knows what they're actually talking about. But, you know, like, thankfully, like, they were able to release not just a PlayStation 4 version, but a PlayStation 5 version, which is where I played it, so it looks a little bit better, and it ran better. I really just want to start talking about the game rather than its development because I had so much fun with this game. So,
me too. A lot of fun.
The conceit of this game is that you have been sent to this planet to survey the area for like to assess if it's going to be habitable for people to live and just investigate, you know, this planet deemed ARY-26. Well, of course, your ship crash lands, and the company that sent you here didn't budget in for you to get off the planet. They just like sent you here wanting you to send data back about the area. And, you know, getting home is your problem, so figure it out, dude. The whole idea of just like, you know, running around trying to find your way off this planet has been done a couple of other times, and it made me think of those other games, but this one has a very particular sense of humor, and it really plays into the sort of capitalism of space travel and what this particular company is doing. But you have to find your way off this planet alone. You're stranded there. And the basic loop is just leave your ship, go out, find something, then bring it back to your ship and craft whatever upgrade you need to then help you get somewhere further in the area. That's kind of like a Metroid style kind of game, where there's like metaphorical locks and keys that you use, like, and those keys would be abilities to climb higher or a more powerful gun to shoot something, whatever, like that. That's the kind of loop that we're looking at in this game. Did you take to that kind of gameplay loop pretty well?
Yes, I've been playing a lot of Metroidvanias over the time, and it did really have that kind of Metroid kind of feel to it. Like you said, like you go out, you find Like, you bring it back, it unlocks more places to go, more avenues of exploring. It had quite, yeah, like strong similarities to games like that. But yeah, it did it in a really fun way with like a really, it really wasn't afraid to have a quite a strong sense of humor, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then did you ever play Metroid Prime?
I have played Metroid Prime, not much, but I have played it. Yeah.
Okay. I think that some of the basic ideas that come from that game really seep into this one as well, where you've only got one gun and it only has like a single shot to it. But like, you know, there's a clip where you reload it and, you know, it does have just like a charge shot that you can use. However, it's just a basic pistol and you don't ever change your shooting style beyond that. As well, like there's a grappling hook that you get, and you have a sort of like a space jump kind of thing where you can jump in midair. All of those together made it feel a lot like Metroid Prime to me. And
yeah, I agree.
I know a few people in the Discord that love Metroid Prime, so I had to say like you should go try this game because it feels like that, especially when you get that space jump. And then down the line, when you get more upgrades, you can get more jumps in midair, and it feels like you can play as if Metroid Prime had a flying option. And I just thought to myself, man, Metroid Prime really needs a second and third jump in midair.
This would be
great. Did you have any favorite pieces of equipment that you ended up gathering?
I really liked the tether hook and like what you could do with it in terms of like using it to gain speed, getting to other places. And it was quite interesting, although it was a little bit fickle in terms of sometimes, you know, you think you're in the space to use the hook that you attach to, but you had to be at the right angle, had to be the right distance, and sometimes you'd fall to your death. But you know, it was pretty fun and interesting. I think that was probably my favorite one.
And I definitely did fall a couple of times, and I did feel like every time I would like swing over a large gap trying to like get to somewhere that was just like way out in open space, I would be slamming that L1 button because I would just be frantically hoping that I could grab onto the next point.
But that's
an overview of the general gameplay loop. The presentation, though, I think really set this game apart. And this is where some of that Stadia stuff comes in, where to give you an idea of what this game looks like, I feel like it's almost as if someone saw Metroid Prime and No Man's Sky and said, let's take those games and combine them together a little bit and then throw in a lot of neon slime. And there's neon goo everywhere, and it is like explosive greens, there's bright orange, there's purple. It's hilarious how much like Nickelodeon it feels like, if you know like what that kind of aesthetic is here in the States. But that kind of just idea that like there are kids with just very brightly colored ooze just throwing it back and forth at each other. That's the kind of idea and the kind of look that this game has. There are a bunch of animals that just have like big eyes. They look like they're supposed to be cute. And some of them are cute. Some of them are also deadly. They look ridiculous a lot of times and they sound ridiculous. On top of that, there's just an incredible amount of world building in this game where there's this company, headed by the CEO, Martin Tweed, has sent you to this planet to survey the area, and they continually send you video updates of what they're doing. And he will often like chime in and try and introduce himself in a very corporate video, talking about, you know, why you've been sent here, why you're there to save the company and do wonderful things, just like regular like capitalism. Of course, it's all a lie, and it is just there to better their pockets. Looking at that, like that aesthetic, like what were your first thoughts?
Yeah, because you were talking about the CEO Martin Tweed, and how I thought it was quite interesting. He's like acted by a real life actor. And Adrian Bidhop, I believe. I think he passed away at the end of 2023. But
yeah,
it did a really interesting job of like dehumanizing your character, because you know, you and everything around you is this cartoon aesthetic. Like, you know, it doesn't look like real life. It looks like this bigger than life, bright colors. Everything looks spongy and squishy. And then you know, like the person you're looking at through the video recordings is this real person, and there's real people in this building. So it really does a good job of like dehumanizing your character, which is actually quite relevant when you get into the story further as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then on top of that, you don't just have the corporate videos of Martin talking to you. You also have a ton of ads.
Bruh, the grab-and-go superlicious megamorphological food base from Suckage Farms. The universe's number four sustenance resource just got a whole lot juicier with Platinum Slurp Plus, Nutra-Minerals, Power Booster Edge 20 million. Bruh, anatomically reconfigurable nanoclusters simulate a virtually unlimited number of foods and beverages in your mouth and straight into your stomach for maximum satisfaction with exemplary convenience. With tastes, flavors, and textures like beef, chicken, pork, chocolate mousse, hard candy, chili bacon burger, Sani Manic, chives, baked ziti, Parmesan cheese, vanilla swirl, Long John Donut, Salisbury steak, pasta paisano, buffalo banana wings, horse biscuits, pineapple pizza poppers, lamb spleen, poutine, wonton fecal surprise, cucumber shit water, nose broth, and literally trillions more.
Now that's good flavor.
Bruh, the 100% artificial food replacement shell taking Earth by storm. Don't be a snob. Eat with the mob. Replace your food with Bruh.
Bruh is considered a class 9 retro cluster and has not cleared for non-terrestrial territory. Do not under any circumstances speak to Star Gerbil. See website for details.
And they've run whenever you've entered your spaceship to return and like do something there, like craft a new upgrade or just drop off resources. These ads, these ads were over the top. They just sent the tone of the game into another level. And I don't watch Rick and Morty a lot, but other people have told me this is definitely got the Rick and Morty kind of sense of humor. And I can kind of understand that from a few of the jokes that I've seen from the show. However, some of these commercials made me laugh really hard. And just because of how ridiculous they are. What are some of your favorites?
Yeah, I actually have quite a few that are my favorite. I think the first one that comes to mind is probably the first one you see, which is the advertisement for Grob, which is like
Grob,
food paste, the superlicious metaphological food paste from Suckage Farms. Yeah, that that was so like they had like 100 different items that it, you know, it could taste or feel like, and it just got more and more increasingly weird as it went down the list, which was pretty interesting.
Disgusting too. And also,
oh yeah, some of the last ones were absolutely terrible.
Every plate that they show you is just the same blob of purple slime, and it's like, oh, it's just their food substitute, and it's supposed to have the same texture and taste as whatever food they're listing off. But yeah, they run through like maybe 50 of these different examples of food that it should be. I somehow missed that first one and didn't see it. The first one that I remember seeing was Flex Limba. And
that one
really set the tone, because I was like, oh, it's a joke commercial for this in-universe thing. Oh my God, what are they doing? And Flex Limba is some sort of paste that you rub on your joints or your limbs, and it makes them super flexible. And it just like starts showing off this guy bouncing a hacky sack and like with his foot, and the leg is just contorting like a piece of spaghetti. It is disgusting looking, and like I saw that, my wife was on the couch with me, and she looked at it, she was like, what the hell? And I was like, I don't know, I have no idea what this is, but oh my God. And then a few others that were big highlights that I thought were very funny. There's the Boomerdale commercial. I thought that was hilarious. The brain wipes made me laugh pretty hard. I had to watch that a couple of times. And then one of my favorites was one of the last that I saw. It was the Monster Crib Mobile Manor, which is a giant manor on like monster truck tires, and it is bounding over the hills. The voiceover sounds like this super bougie, high-class narrator who is trying to advertise the Rolls-Royce of monster truck manners. That one I loved.
Yeah, I've got a few more I could talk about.
Yeah, because please,
the ones that came to my mind. So firstly, in addition to the grub one, I didn't actually know until later on that there's actually a QR code on the can of grub in the game. And if you scan it, it just takes you to a YouTube video for the ad, which is quite interesting. I thought that was pretty interesting. And I think a lot of the ones that stuck in my mind were the ones that were quite like disturbing. And that's why they came into mind. Like the one about the meat buddy.
Oh my God.
It was like, just took all your meat scraps and turned it into like a little meat demon that says, "Hi, Mama." And really terrifying.
Horrifying looking. Horrifying. Like,
did you have one that would always come up when you went back into the ship? Because I had one that would just always come up. I don't know why.
I feel like whenever
I went back to the ship, it was always blob line. I'd get the line of like, "Want to talk to some of the hardest slime farms in the galaxy?" every time I went to my ship.
There was that one. And then actually, Meat Buddy would start playing and I'd just hear that voice saying like, "Disgusting food, meat particles making its way into your trash, or worse, the toilet." Like, oh man, stop it. Just stop. Oh, disgusting.
Yeah. That was,
yeah. Fate chimed in the Discord saying that Meat Buddy was their favorite commercial. So hats off to you, man, for being able to stomach that and make it your favorite.
It was the video itself was just disturbing to watch. All the meat pieces going into the toilet was disturbing. Yeah,
it was horrible.
But and then the last one, you go. Sorry.
Like the machine that they're advertising also is saying like you can choose the number of limbs that this thing has, and it's like got options. So it's like humanoid or like horse that you can like. It's just like this horse made out of meat pieces that has then come to life and become your buddy. There's also a bug option that you can choose. So imagine having that, like a meaty cockroach running around your floor. Like, that's a Bloodborne boss waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's all those commercials, and I'm very tempted to just make all of the audio breaks in this episode just one commercial after another. Because, like why not? Like that is
one's got to be MOBA, MOBA, MOBA. That one was classic.
Okay, so that was the most annoying commercial.
No, it was so loud.
I watched that once, and even then, like halfway through, I was like, "God, just make this one end, please." Oh, but I have to see the whole thing. Huh. But yeah, like the commercials here, huge highlight. And then you know when they release the DLC for this game, which we'll talk about later. They advertised like more in-game commercials and people freaked out. They thought that was a great addition. So for once, more in-game ads is a great thing. But
yeah,
we have the commercials, and then there's also an AI companion that is adding to sort of the sense of humor. She's not malicious in a sense, but she just kind of like quips about stuff and often makes fun of you and what you're doing. Offering a very cynical commentary to, you know, what your situation is and how you're dealing with it. There was one time where I was like running around a cave trying to find a particular material, and I wandered into the chamber where it was located, and I just happened to walk out of it again and I hadn't picked it up. And she said something to the effect of, "You're just going to leave without taking the resource? Come on, I brought you here. I directed you to where it should be. Come on, go get it." So she started yelling at me for not following directions.
She had a lot of very good lines. Yeah.
What's also very funny is because of the non-linear nature of this game, where she'll direct you to go from one place to another to pick up one particular resource. But if you know the geography of the game, you can take a different path and pick up that same resource somewhere else. And she'll point out the fact that like, "Hey, you just picked up a resource that we weren't telling you to pick up, and you solved the problem in a way we weren't instructing you." So hats off to your innovation and ingenuity. Taking an initiative.
Meat scraps, fat, and gristle finding its way to your trash? What a waste! or even worse, the toilet? Disgusting. Put a smile on your face using your meat waste with Meat Buddy, the reconstituted cuddly companion from Slimo. Just take your animal-based waste products, rotten flesh, and laboratory-thrown proteins and simply toss in the hopper. Choose the number and type of appendages, and in just 4 short clychips, your new best friend will emerge, ready to cuddle. Meat Buddy, the snuggly playmate from Slimo.
Let's also talk about some of the biomes that we go through. So there are like 3 general areas to investigate and check out. There's like the starting fields that you land in. It's the landing area. Everything's very green. There are some parts that are covered in snow, but most of it is very just colorful and bright looking. There's lots of grass, lots of trees. It's lush. And there's like interesting animals there. And then do you have any favorite animals in that area?
Oh, yeah. I think my favorite one in that area, I got 2, actually. Okay. I think the meat vortex, for first off. It's basically, for people listening, it's basically like a wall-mounted sunflower with like razor-sharp teeth and tentacles that like block passageways. And if you kick one of the little birds into it, you'll hear like a really loud grinding noise as it like basically eats the bird then retracts.
Sounds like a chainsaw. And yeah, this thing looks like an air vent with a turbine in it, and it looks like it's that structure, just with a little bit of fur on the outside and a pair of eyes at the top. The first time I did that, my wife said like, you just chopped up a bird. I said, well, yeah.
And it goes everywhere, too. That's
he looked hungry. And yes, this like purple blood goes everywhere.
The other one that I had, sorry. The other one is the sprout look, which is like, it's like a giant eye on little legs. And it like turns to patrol an area.
Yeah.
And if it spots you, like a gauge increases. And if it gets full, it basically turns into like a cannon and starts shooting homing missiles. But if you can sneak up on it, your character will like poke it straight in its big eye and then shake all the eye liquid off their hand.
He just shakes his hand. He's like, oh, God, it's disgusting. I love how, like, if it does spot you and it gets aggravated, it will just bury itself in the ground and just vomit up like 20 of these bombs at you. And it's hilarious because they rain down in your position and you have to get out of the area. But then
itching fields.
Yeah, I have to look through my notes again. The itching fields, and that's the second area. There is it's got some more open air space. So there's a lot of hopping between rocks over like bottomless pits. But this is where you run into some slightly more dangerous animals that can be a little bit daunting. For some reason, the puffer birds, which are like the mascot to this game, they're adorable. They're like tiny little ball-shaped birds with giant eyes. Here, for some reason, they become zombies inside the cave. And now you've got zombified, tiny, cute little birds kind of lumbering towards you. So that was really weird. Do you have any other favorite animals here? Those were some of my favorites.
I really like the slamphibians. They're like basically super beefed up frogs.
Yeah.
They've got pretty interesting abilities. And they act as like a good kind of like mini boss.
Yeah, yeah.
And they turn up, which is quite cool. I think they can summon like tornadoes at random locations, and they can like leap around making shockwaves. So they were pretty fun and a bit of a challenge the first time you fight them, because you're trying to like figure out how do I damage this thing, because bullets are clearly reflecting off it and not doing any damage. So
there is like a glowing yellow weak spot on its back that you have to get to shooting, and then like he'll roar at you, and inside his mouth is another weak spot. So you just really have to be careful with what you're doing, and you have to pay attention to get some of those shots in. One of mine that we forgot to mention down in the landing area, that I loved this bird just because of how much it made me laugh. It's the babushka, or the babushka.
Babushka, yeah, like the doll. Yeah.
It is the It is a bird with four long necks and four heads, one head at the end of each neck. And then if it spots you, it turns and runs away, screaming. And the sound that it makes is hilarious. Like, it is running for its life in fear, and it's screaming bloody murder. But every time I like just wander through the grass, not doing anything, and you'd hear it screaming as it's running from left to right across the screen. And I'd just be like, what the hell? Where are you coming from? And what did I do? Nothing.
And they're really hard to shoot. So like, you can't make them stop either. Yeah.
They just run and they scream. I love it. I really do.
And then they also split. Like, if you do manage to shoot them, they split in half and make two-headed birds that both scream and run away. And if you manage to shoot them, they split into two one-headed birds and run and scream and run away. So you can make a lot of screaming birds very fast.
Yes, yes. And it caused a lot of pandemonium. I loved those. Up in the itching fields, there's a new creature that you might run into called the skipper, which looks kind of like a betta fish that flies. And it just screeches in your face if you get close enough to it. Doesn't attack you or anything. It just like gets in your face and it's like screaming, get the hell out of here. And then it just flies around and poops a lot. And the description, if you put your scanner on it, says it's like 90% poop. So there it is. The Rick and Morty sense of humor coming into play again. But like this thing, it looks really cool. It looks kind of very, very pretty looking, but when it does get aggravated, it sounds like oh no, what's going on? It's like, no, it just doesn't really want to attack you. It's just screaming for some weird reason.
Oh yeah, it might be interesting to mention in this game, like in most of these kind of exploration games, your character will have like a melee weapon that they use to like clear obstacles and you know, attack things up close. In this game, you have a slap. Basically, like, your character will just slap in front of them and you can charge it up to like do a really heavy slap that does a lot of damage. So these enemies that you're killing up close, you're actually just slapping them to death instead. So it kind of just adds to the hilarity when you see a big enemy and you just start slapping it.
Yeah, there is a trophy that will require you to slap every enemy in the game, and so have fun doing that. Some of the smaller animals though, you don't slap, you kick. And
that's right.
Like, kicking anything feels kind of bad if I kick a puffer bird, but it is very funny to just kind of see them go flying somewhere, and they tweet and stuff, and then after they land somewhere, then if they haven't died from being kicked, then they actually come over and start attacking you, and that's when they get annoying, and seeing these things attack is also very funny, but. You might eventually get up to the elevated realm. That's our third sort of area, biome, whatever. And that place has one of my favorite looking creatures called the Maroon. And it is pretty much just this tiny lumbering thing with very thick legs and a giant set of eyes and a big mouth. And it just sort of like stomps one foot on the other, and it's small enough to not like make you feel like it has an impact or anything, but it just like walks really funny, looks really funny, and just has its mouth gaping open with a tongue hanging out of its head. And it looks like one of the most ridiculous designs anyone could think of.
Yeah, it's just constantly like out of balance. It's always just like, it looks like it's gonna fall and then takes a step forward. I also found it quite interesting that you can feed them grob to farm resources from them as well, which is quite interesting. Like, they're just so stupid that they'll just eat whatever you give them and then just give you resources back.
Yeah.
By throwing up.
there's that. I know that, like, one of the first ways for you to get resources is to feed grob to the puffer birds. and they like run over, they start eating this stuff, and then they kind of look funny, they look at you for a minute, and then they start to poop out all the carbon that you need to pick up as a resource. Again, yeah. Like disgusting stuff to do, but you have to do it to survive and get off the planet.
Oh yeah.
Introducing Monster Crab Extreme Designer Mobile Nana from Chi-Chi and Gold Muscle. This 12-bedroom primary residence features an XG-class, mega-scaled off-road driving system with 42-foot naturally sourced elite-grade gangster grip tires, 26-karat gold-shielded driveshaft, Le Pipi-de-Quiff champagne gas shocks, and 10 jewel-encrusted 5,000-horsepower turbo-turbine engines by Dolph Pajorian. Explore your vast estate from the comfort of your own ride castle with a top speed of over 188 kilometers an hour. Don't get left in the dust by other mechanized mansions. Live in the lap of luxury at full throttle with the Monster Crib Extreme Designer Mobile Manor from Chi-Chi and Gold Muscle.
At the end of every one of these areas, there is a boss fight as well that you have to somehow overcome. These are pretty basic things, and they're relatively easy as far as fights go, but they are still like quite a spectacle to see. The first one has this thing that is like this rock monster that is in a lava pool area that you have to shoot all of its like tentacle weak points. The second one is, she was called like the matriarch.
Matriarch.
This giant, yeah, queen bug that has one eye, and it follows you around the room. What I thought was very funny was that she kind of has this smile on her face the whole time, and it's just the natural shape of her mouth. But it is very funny how like she's just staring at you the whole time with a big smile. And it's she's kind of adorable looking, but also pretty menacing because she does do a considerable amount of damage, and so do all of her minions. And then the third area doesn't really have a boss fight. I feel like they were supposed to include one, and they just sort of ran out of time for release. So they didn't include it there, but instead they just had the final fight be inside this giant structure that you're trying to find your way into. And after you've like made your way into this structure and made your way down, you've probably also found a few lore pieces that are journals from this other person from another planet that was exploring this area. And he's ended up like just eating up some of the natural vegetation from ARY-26 and has developed into this other monster that you have to fight. And what was his name? Like, I wrote
that's Teratomo.
Teratomo, yeah. This guy was, again, like one of the most disgusting things I'd ever seen. He looked like, if you remember Ghostbusters and Slimer, that character, this thing looks like a giant version of Slimer if instead of being made out of green ectoplasm, he was made out of just meat and pus and zits.
And covered in pimples.
Yeah. This guy was crazy looking and just so gross, but he takes up this giant room and just starts throwing stuff at you like lava. And he's got tentacles that come up from the acid that's in a pool around him. And you just have to shoot all of his pimples. And once you shot all of them, he pukes up the key that you need to take back to your ship and take off the planet. It turns out if you found all the lore for this game, you get a short video that explains that this is not actually a planet. This is in fact sort of like a seed similar to the beginning of the movie Prometheus, where they would gather up all the DNA and all the information about creatures and then plug this thing, this giant structure into a planet and seed the planet with all of their natural information about creatures and plants. And then it would filter out from this machine and populate the entire planet. However, this particular machine failed as a seed, and the planet sort of exploded. And now that explains why you were flying around this sort of like mass of structures that like aren't really a planet. They're just rocks floating out in space. But like that is sort of like an explanation for why this is like a place you're in and like why this alien structure is here. You've spent the whole game trying to figure it out, but you know, really like who cares? You're just trying to run around and shoot stuff and collect alien material. So
and eat a lot of goo.
So like your upgrades that you collect, one of them is just like to give you more armor, more health points, more stamina also, is you find these glowing balls of goo and your character just walks up to them and eats a chunk of it. And that makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Another really weird way to do the upgrade system.
Nice. Yeah, Ikko had a really good voice line for that bit too. She's like, when you eat and get your first level up, she goes like, good news, bad news. Good news, those things you ate made you way harder to kill. The bad news is you're harder to kill because most of your bones have been replaced with rock-hard space tumors.
Yeah.
Good news, potential partners dig tumors. She was pretty funny. She definitely added a lot of humor at the right times where you just, you know, because you, as a gamer, you just, there's a button you push to get this upgrade. You just push it. You don't even think about it. And then it does a good job of being like, if you think about what you've just done, it is strange. She did a really good job with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could either scan this thing that you're about to eat to get some information about it, or on subsequent playthroughs, because I did play this like three times, you could just walk up to it and take a bite out of it and not scan it. And if you don't scan it, she will say, wow, you just decided to walk up to this thing without scanning it and eat it. That's bold of you, man. Good on you. By the way, like, this is what it did. So that, again, like going back to her sense of humor, that's perfect. It is great.
Remember the good old days? Well, now you can live them again at Boomerdale. We are a 255 years and older residential gated colony in sunny central New Florida, located on beautiful DLC 1. Our ancient residents have access to a number of premium amenities like emotional support vegetables, cottage cheese and pizza stations, and much more. Live out your final 1,000 years in comfort and convenience until your credits run out and your remaining biomass is recycled into sustenance for others.
Tasty.
Embrace the freedom of the past, the old-fashioned way at Boomerdale, your future community of yesteryear.
So we've talked about the boss fights. There's the DLC that was added to this game as it was getting released on Stadia. And then that was a Stadia exclusive for a certain amount of time. And then it got released on all the other platforms when they got the rights back to the game after Stadia closed. So the version that's on PlayStation Plus is the Employee of the Month version. And that has the DLC added to it. This DLC pack takes you to another planet called DLC 1. And the company that you work for has sent you there to rescue it from a hostile takeover from another company called Viper. And you pretty much have to do the same kind of stuff. You run around, collect resources, and find your way up through this tropical area to then fight off the AI that is being controlling the area, and it was sent there by Viper to do a takeover of Boomerdale. It's a giant retirement community that is in a tropical planet, and let's just sort of like point out the fact that if the company is able to teleport you from ARY-26, where your ship is, over to Boomerdale, which is on another planet, couldn't they theoretically just teleport you home?
Yeah, but they won't ever tell you that.
I guess like they need you to work on this other planet. That's all. So it is a very tropical area. It's got some of its own animals and some of its own creatures to deal with. There's also robots being sent out by this AI. Very, very funny. Are there any like particular highlights as far as the flora and fauna of DLC 1?
I think they did an interesting job of, having the robot enemies was quite interesting. It gave them like something else to kind of play against. I think it was quite interesting as well. They had at the where you first drop into the DLC world, there's like a whole underwater section where you can go and find things. I think there wasn't really a lot in there, but I think that's a good kind of. It was quite interesting to see that they could do stuff underwater, because in the original planet, there was no water to like swim around in. It was either you fell into lava, you fell into acid, or you fell infinitely down to your death. Whereas in this one, they had a kind of mix up of like dry land, flying, water, lots of different stuff. Yeah,
right, right. There's no like sort of like open bottomless pits for you to fall into, except for in one area. But like there is this huge water section, and I thought it was funny how like there are no creatures under the water. It's just it's just a place for you to start wandering around. So for about maybe a minute, I was afraid that something was going to jump out at me from the deep, but it never did.
I had the same feeling.
there are a lot of collectible postcards down there that you can go after.
I think that was maybe a missed opportunity as well. But like you said, it definitely felt like there were some corners that were cut short. But you could see what they might have gone with, which would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so you end up fighting this AI controlled machine that is at the top of this mountain. And I did something kind of stupid where I wasn't really paying attention to what I was supposed to be doing. And I ended up getting to that machine before I had checked off all the requirements for the previous mission. And so I just wandered into this area and was just walking around this thing with a bunch of missile turrets on it, and nothing was happening. And so I was thinking to myself, well, okay, like, what do I do now? Like, I've reached the end and nothing's happening. What's wrong, guys? But
I didn't know you could do that. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. It turns out I just had to go back to one of the other Viper bases and collect the evidence there first, and then walk up to this giant thing, which was then going to like enclose me in a space and attack me. But that was just like an awkward moment where it's kind of clear that like they weren't really planning for the player to do all of this at once. And so there are a couple of things in this game where you can kind of tell that like they didn't plan this ahead, and they just kind of threw it in as like a last minute thing or an add-on kind of thing.
Yeah.
There are other add-on modes to this. And I think that co-op was actually added after its initial release. And so we ended up doing some co-op together, and it really did feel like it was not meant to be played co-op, but we did it anyway because the option's there, you know.
And there are trophies attached to it.
There are trophies attached to it. So why not? Why not go after a few of those? We fought one of the bosses together, and that guy he's a pushover on his own, but man, like this thing died like before I knew it was happening. Like I looked up at the boss meter, and it was at like 80% health, and within like a few seconds, it was gone. Like it was completely dead because I wasn't paying attention. But you had ended up shooting it a couple of times in the right spot, and it was just like gone, like nothing. So that's one thing that shows that it wasn't. It was a little bit underpowered for co-op, and then. Right afterwards, you ran up to what this boss was guarding, and you grabbed the upgrade element, and I didn't realize that you had. And so I got no notification that I had gotten the next key for the progress for the game. So looking at this, like, I can kind of tell that, like, they didn't really intend for it to be co-op, but They just kind of added that in as like another option for you to play.
I definitely think that it definitely felt like a clever idea, because the whole one of the purposes of the game is that like you basically 3D print all of your upgrades, right? There's a 3D printer in the ship and it does all of your upgrades there. But when you're in there, Echo tells you that like, oh, it's okay if you die because we can just print another version of you. And this is when you're playing the single player. She tells you that. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. It's like a respawn point. But that's clever that when you go to play co-op, when you go into the menu, player one, their name is their username. And then player two is under Meat Clone. And they're just a complete copy of this player.
Yeah.
Same health, same upgrades, everything. So it's quite, they do a good job there of like playing on the fact that they could just print more of you if they need them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you even commented on that when we jumped into co-op, because you said, oh, we're coming out of a different spot. Cool. And you ended up coming out of like spawning in the duplicator, and you crawled out of that while I crawled out of the bed bunk or the bed. Yeah. In the ship. So that was like a moment. It's like, oh yeah, they're fitting this into the lore as well. There's the co-op mode, and then an additional mode is old game minus mode, which is like supposed to be the hard mode, but really just what it does is it says that you can only die 3 times, and if you do die 3 times, your save gets deleted. So good luck with that. You know, it's not as daunting as it seems though, because it's really easy to just avoid death in this game. I ended up finishing that mode without any deaths. I was very careful with what I was doing. I got as many upgrades as I could. And after a while, I felt like I was just playing the same game. There was no difference. I just had to pay attention to what I was doing. That's it. How did you find Old Game Minus?
Yeah, I found it pretty easy. Obviously, I played it after I'd finished the game the first time around. And so I basically didn't go for any upgrades. I was as little upgrades as I probably could have, and then just run through the game and finished it. Because when I first played through the game, I got to, you know, the bosses, and I was like, oh, are these going to be difficult? Do I need more health? And as you said earlier, they're quite easy. And so the first, when I was going through on Old Game Minus, I didn't have any of the health upgrades. I had the weapon damage, but that was it. And it was just as easy. And I had basically no chance of dying, except for one time where I fell off the world, and for some reason the little robot didn't save me, so I lost one life. But
I never understood why, like, why he does save you, like what's the reasoning behind that? And
yeah, I'm not sure.
How do you bank those up and like store those? But for some reason, just like one of the little scout bots flies in and teleports you to the ledge that you were last on. So like who knows why? But anyways. Old Game Minus, relatively easy. There's also a speed run that has to be done. So for the Platinum Trophy, just one of the speed run trophies, it is pretty easy. You have to finish the game in under 4 hours. I got a ton of upgrades on my second run, and I ended up finishing the game in just over 3 hours. So I took a lot of detours and was also very careful with what I was doing. And like kind of had an idea for what I wanted to go after. You don't have to collect every single clump of orange goo to fully upgrade your setup. I think there are 100. You need 60 to max out your stamina and your health. So I definitely did that. I got to 60 just by like running around and hitting the ones that I remembered from my first run. But what I want to mention during the second run, when you first start the game, before you can even leave the ship, your AI tells you to jump into to log into the computer and take a quick survey. And one of the things she has you do is pick a profile picture. And she says this, that you should pick the picture of yourself so we know you're not crazy. As a joke, I thought, I'm going to pick the one picture here that is not of a person. It's of a dog.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
So when, as you're playing, like I didn't notice this at first, but as I was playing, I started to wonder, why am I hearing the sound of a dog panting? Or when I'm running, why am I hearing like a dog kind of yip and bark? And it's because like my character's voice was replaced with a dog. And I played the whole game that way. And so, like part of the way through, my wife, like as I was logging in to like one of my sessions, my wife said, "Why does it sound like a lion when you got up? That's weird." And I said, "You know what? There's a joke about that you'll hear about later, but yeah, it was because the dog was yawning when it was getting up." And like that again adds to just the ridiculous sense of humor that this game has. So hats off to you guys. Hats off to Raccoon Logic. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Also, every time I booted the game up and the sound effect would play for Raccoon Logic, it would play its jingle as the logo splash popped up. And then when the logo splash was done, it would make the sound of a cat meowing. And the first time that happened, she just like tilted her head like, "What the hell?" And like, Every time I was turning the game on, I would turn and look at her to see her reaction. And it got her a few times. How did you find the speed run? Going back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, I found it pretty easy. Because with the game, there's like two endings we could touch on. Basically, there's like a good ending if you go and get everything and defeat the last boss and get the seed that, you know, generates the planet's look up. But you can also do a bad ending where you just grab enough fuel to leave the planet and you can leave the planet and disappoint your employers. Yeah.
You just bail out of the whole damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically I did that and I managed to get that done in probably just under an hour. So you can do it pretty quick. Yeah, yeah.
Mall Monkeys Micro Mills Plaza, the ultimate Earth life simulator. Create tiny human life forms by just adding sub-zero radioactive water to a micro life powder packet and see your mall's inhabitants grow in just minutes. Watch them stroll, shop, and live as they autonomously move throughout their very own shopping complex, completely unaware of your presence. Engage in fascinating examination of standard Earth activity or declare a Black Friday and send your shoppers into a violent bargain hunting frenzy where only the strong survive. Mini Mall Monkeys Micro Mills Plaza comes with environmentally stabilized shopping mall biochamber, 3 packets of powdered micro monkeys, and stirring stick from Lil Labs.
So there's a lot to do here, a lot of modes. This probably goes pretty high up there on my list of just favorite trophy lists because of all the interesting things that they make you do. And also because of how many movie references go into the trophy list itself. Like there are multiple references to Ghostbusters in here. I think there's more than one reference to Back to the Future. It's clear that like whoever made this trophy list loved movies from the 80s. They loved weird pop culture things from the 80s as well. So hats off to you for this trophy list. It is great. One of my favorite trophies was just it was something like kick 15 puffer birds in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Something like that. And like, I just like for about 5 minutes, I spent 5 minutes running around looking for clumps of puffer birds to then kick all at once. They all go.
Yeah. I think the trophy is called like, that's all people really want to do. I think that's what the trophy is called.
And so I like had to plan out my routes, like, count out 15 puffer birds in an area and be like, okay, well, I'm gonna start by kicking these two. I'm gonna run over here, kick these other two, run over there, kick those three, and make sure that I can find four more. It's like it was just a very speed focused puzzle that I had to figure out. Speaking of trophies, we should have a platinum shout out from the Trophy Talk Discord that we are pulling. I've got two other people here that we're very proud of their platinum trophy. So first off, we got Fate continuing his 2-streak platinum shout out. He wrote in saying, "There's a 50s style diner not too far from where I live that does a donut burger. Glazed donut, burger, extra stuff, topped with another glazed donut. I tried it once and the whole time I thought, my God, what am I doing? This is stupid, but it's really damn good. This is the video game version of that. And it's really great fun. Now to finish my plate of grob while I set my monkey mall to Black Friday with my meat buddy." So that's a reference to the grob commercial There is another commercial about a mall playset that has you insert actual living beings into it, and then you watch them walk around and go about their daily lives shopping. You can set it to Black Friday, which will cause pandemonium, and everybody kills each other in this mall as you just lord over it and watch. So, and then he threw in the meat buddy there, just everyone's favorite nightmare. So that's a great shout out to you, Fate. Congrats on the platinum. Also, Josh Slugger JD wrote in, continuing his 3-platinum streak. He wrote in saying, Platinum 426. I'm glad you guys pushed me to play this one. It was way better than I thought it would be. Congrats, Josh. Yeah. Big shout out to this. I'm really glad you played it because it made me laugh really hard a lot of times. So I hope it made you laugh too. Moving on to one thing I do want to ask everybody when we talk about one specific game. I want to know from you what you think. Who do you think should check out Journey to the Savage Planet?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's pretty, I feel in terms of difficulty, it's definitely lower on difficulty. So if you were worried about like how much of a commitment it's going to be, it's a pretty quick game, but it crams a lot of fun in. It's like the difficulty in terms of combat is low. I think the difficulty in terms of survivability in the game is also reasonably generous. So I think it's pretty much most people could check it out if they have the time. I think, like you said before, the addition that's on PS Plus is the full one with the DLC. So it's actually a really good opportunity to get it if you are someone who really cares about completing a game fully as well. Yeah. So I think it's a pretty open one. I know for some games, you might have a genre clash in terms of what people like to play, but I think this one does a good job of kind of just being really easy to pick up and play and not being very punishing.
Yeah. I did recommend this to a few people that I know love Metroid Prime, and I said, this one feels like that, but I think the humor that this game has was a little bit hard for them to get past. So if you like Rick and Morty and that kind of sense of humor, you're probably going to like this. But if you kind of got sick of that sense, that style of humor, you might not enjoy this. So that's cool. That's the one caveat that I have, where it's kind of like, I want to recommend this because of how much fun I had with it. But at least one person that I said you're going to like this didn't. And I do feel kind of bad. So check it out, though, because I still highly recommend this game just for the fun trophy hunt that you can go on in this. So as well, I feel like this is the kind of game that it could be good for kids just because there's not anything terribly offensive in it. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff in there, kind of like the weird stuff that I saw as a kid from the 80s. But, there's nothing outright offensive about anything in this game. So it's mostly safe for kids, I think.
So yeah, I think apart from maybe a few mentions in some of the ads, it's all pretty clean. And think, the jokes are all kind of that stupid fun instead of being a fun. And also the violence is also, it's kind of like you're playing Splatoon where you'll shoot a bird.
Yeah.
And it'll just explode with pus. It won't be blood. It's just basically goo that comes out.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it is very, I think, friendly to younger people as well.
It is, yeah. And it also just, it does have this like slight tinge and message about the evils of capitalism. So I can always get behind that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now, speaking of capitalism and spending money, there is a sequel on the way. And I found out about this like a week ago. I somehow missed the news about this, but there is a sequel on the way. So it's going to be Revenge of the Savage Planet. And I watched the trailer, still just as funny. I'm very excited for that. There's no announced release date yet, but it's supposed to be this year. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to have to check it out when it does come out. So be on the lookout for Revenge of the Savage Planet. Are you interested in the sequel at all?
I think I will be. I would like to wait until it comes to service because I hope it would, but I definitely would. I'm definitely going to pick it up at some point because this one was really fun. I think what I saw was maybe May 2025, but I could be wrong. But...
Oh, well, that's coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodbye, dumb body, and hello to the Abceptional Core Checker GVTV. Don't just settle for abs. Get Mega Sculpt Extreme Jack GVTV Power Abs. Check your core to ultimate overkill with the Core Checker GVTV Deep Ab Sculpting System from Power Dill. Strap it on and let the Core Checker deliver precise, powerful, punishing exercise G crunches to each ab sub area, including difficult to isolate zones like lower mid-side half abs and hard to reach upper lower or outer central quasi tendons. Just attach the Core Jacker to your midsection to ignite the explosion. Forget six packs, forget eight packs, try 14, up to 32 packs. Do over 5,000 lightning fast sit-ups effortlessly with your new Mega Stack Avergized Abs. Your diamond hard GBDBs can resist blunt force strikes, bullets, even high powered laser weapons. Say goodbye, dumb body, with the Core Jacker GBDBs. TV Deep Ab Sculpting System from Power Dill.
Well, thinking about more recommendations, though, we have an actual Books and More recommendations of this book club style podcast. So I felt like this game was inspired by a lot of other games. What kind of inspiration did you pick up on when playing Journey to the Savage Planet?
Yeah, so I think it's really clear, like the first thing, when I first boot up the game, I got a really strong, like, No Man's Sky inspiration, where it's like planetary exploration, you know, you've got a gun in one hand, you've got a tool in the other hand, and you're just looking around, collecting stuff and making your way through. When you start playing it more, the humor definitely had a bit of the kind of Borderlands, maybe not so offensive as Borderlands, but that kind of really on the nose dry humor, which Borderlands is. It had a lot of that. And I think also from the development side, it looked like they were taking inspiration from games like Subnautica and also Slime Rancher. I think both of those were quite similar as well in terms of what they look like in game and how it kind of feels to play through.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So like I haven't played No Man's Sky. That's one of those games where I actually, that was the reason I wanted a PlayStation 4 way back in 2014, was because of the trailer that debuted with that, but I never did get the game. However, Subnautica, you mentioned, as soon as I finished this game, I got a craving to jump back into Subnautica. That one kind of has the same idea that you've crash landed on a planet and you have to find your way off, but Subnautica, it is a lot more serious in terms of like its style. Like Savage Planet was a ton of fun, and like you're just running around having a good time and just doing silly stuff. With Subnautica, it is more about your survival, and it has a survival mode where you have to find food, you have to find water, and the whole time also you have to explore an underwater world and figure out a way to get off the planet. So there's that. And then Subnautica also has a much larger fear element to it, where there are giant sea creatures that are hunting you in certain
parts. Yeah, and they actually will try to hurt you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, with Savage Planet, there are boss fights. There are creatures that do try to hurt you in this game. But it doesn't feel like death is as big a punishment as it is with Subnautica. Mm. And it is not as, I guess, menacing. So like when I jumped back into Subnautica, I started swimming around and I suddenly realized I didn't remember the geography as well as I did when I last played it. So I somehow found myself in a less than ideal environment, getting chased by something very large that roars in your face as it is coming towards you. And I was reminded, like, oh, this is why I love this game. It's because I get the shit scared out of myself. So if you're looking for that kind of experience and you kind of liked Savage Planet, highly recommend Subnautica. That's a game that I still think about occasionally just because I had so much fun base building and also trying to avoid very big creatures that were going to eat me. that one gets a huge recommendation from me. Borderlands, I haven't played in a very long time, but I do remember the style of humor that had. So, you know, if you like Borderlands, you're probably going to like Journey to the Savage Planet. And Borderlands also like is a very good co-op game. So if you're looking for things to do with friends, big recommendation there. From my own inspiration, because we were trading ideas of like, what does this feel like this game is inspired by? Metroid Prime, it's a big one for me, just in the style of movement. We already talked about that. And then Subnautica was that big thing about just escaping the planet. But I also kind of get a little bit of a sense of like the High on Life kind of style, where there's just everything here just looks really wet and gross. And I haven't played High on Life, but it kind of has that same brightly colored, very neon look to it. And again, that's another game that was from the creator of Rick and Morty. Squanch Games, go check out that game. It was actually free on PlayStation Plus for February, so like I hope you enjoy it and get a chance to jump into that one. I might, but you know, I do kind of feel like I want something a little more serious after playing Savage Planet. Did you play?
I haven't yet. I think I might at some point, but I think it's also going to be quite tongue in cheek as well.
So. yeah, very very silly looking kind of game. So. Are there other things that you're reading, watching, or playing right now that you want to recommend?
I don't really read much anymore, unfortunately. I probably should get around to doing that more often. And then watching stuff, I just watch like cooking shows with my wife. So don't know if I'm recommending that to people. But in terms of games, I'm currently playing Dark Souls Remastered. Quite the opposite of games. A bit of a survival, but
yeah.
I think that's always a good time. It's challenging. It's, you know, you're always, it's got that kind of jeopardy involved at all moments, because you know, if you can die and lose everything you're holding, so you're kind of wanting to play safe and explore, but there are things that are bigger than you, stronger than you, trying to kill you. So it definitely has that kind of, it kind of has the jeopardy, like I said, that this game didn't have. So if people are looking for a challenge, I think everyone knows those games are hard and fun for some, I guess, but yeah, I think that's kind of the only game I'm playing at the moment, because I've just finished a game I was playing, which was Lego Jurassic World, which I was using Dark Souls as a break from that, because that was a massive grind, which it was quite interesting to have three games on the go that were all very different and all very different amounts of like mental fatigue. Like Dark Souls was hard. This game was like Journey to the Savage Planet was just a nice break from both of those to just have no stress. It was just relaxed. It wasn't grindy. It was just having fun exploring. But yeah, that's what I've been playing as well.
Nice. Yeah. Dark Souls is another game that you can't pause. And we didn't mention that, but you can't pause Journey to the Savage Planet. And I think that's because it was based, they kind of started to integrate some of that Stadia mentality into this, where it's like, well, it's supposed to be online all the time, so you can't really pause your streamed game.
Yeah.
You know, something to keep in mind. But Dark Souls, man, like, what was the last boss you killed?
I just finished the first playthrough, so I just killed Gwyn. So I'm into New Game Plus now, just trying to get the cleanup on the trophies.
Well, congrats, yeah.
Yeah, close to the end.
Yeah, give me a shout if you want to co-op some of that stuff. I've got a pretty hefty character that I've run through a couple of times.
I'll let you know.
Oh, man. I just hope you have fun on that second hit of Smog and Orenstein.
Oh, I will. I love their fights.
Good. I've got just one last recommendation, and that's next month's game. It's going to be one of my all-time favorites. We're going to be talking about Celeste. And in that game, it is a side-scroller that's got a pixelated style, and Your quest is to just climb up a mountain and find your way through some perilous situations. But the big goal is to reach the summit of this mountain. And it's quite a journey that you go on. Have you played Celeste?
No, I haven't, but I will be playing it so I can listen to the episode and what's alongside.
This is one of those games that is just strikingly beautiful in what it does in the soundtrack that it has and the kind of message that it has as well. I can't tell you enough how much I love Celeste, and I'm glad that a couple of people suggested that we talk about it. So we're going to be talking about that one next month. Remember, if you want to post your platinum trophies here in to get your platinum trophy shout out here in the show, you can just post those over in the trophies.discord. And if you've already platinum Celeste, don't worry. You can just post that platinum trophy from like 2 years ago when you got it or whenever it released back in 2018. So it is, I think, long enough been out of the cultural zeitgeist for us to be able to jump back into it. And, you know, if you platinumed it when it first came out, feel free to share that plat and get a shout out. Anyone listening, remember you can be part of the show by writing into psplusgameclub@gmail.com to share your thoughts about Celeste or recommend any games for future episodes. You can also find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin if that's the way you'd like to contact the show. I'm also on Blue Sky probably about once a month when I remember to open up the app and check it. And then we've also got the Trophy Talk Discord where you can talk with other people about the current game that we're playing or just about games that you love in general. So go look for the Trophy Talk Discord. Zach, remind us where people can find you, if anywhere, and what the Moogle cast is again.
But yeah, you can find me on PlayStation or the Discord under Zach Ellery, Z-A-C-L-R-E. And yeah, Mooglecast is the podcast that me and my co-host Max host once a month, and we talk about all things games, new, old, news, old consoles, all the good stuff. We have write-ins from people, we have guests on the show quite often, so feel free to just jump in there and have some fun and listen along.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks for playing Journey to the Savage Planet. Thank you to Carrie, my wife, for picking the game. This is a great one.
Yes, thanks, Carrie.
And thank you for talking with me for an hour and a half about this. This has been great.
Yeah, it's been a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And to everyone listening, I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I hope you have a great day playing around.
I love animals. On our journey across the stars, we've seen so many. Some dangerous, some exotic, and some just unusual. This short video is to congratulate you on the successful survey of your planet. With this data, Kindred will be able to grow its database of possible planets in order to choose the best locations. Animals can be a threat. But they can also represent opportunities. Wow! Look over here. Look at all those funky animals. I love all these animals. I'm an animal lover. So thank you from the depths of our hearts for your fastidious completion of our stated goal. As an added bonus, we'll be naming one of the creatures you've discovered after you. So stay safe and get home soon.